the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site that covers the Arizona Cardinals. And it is week three, of the NFL season. It's episode 591. This is our week three preview show, opponent preview show, with as the Cardinals take on the Detroit Lions at home for the second of three games in a row. The 1-1 Cardinals facing the 1-1 Detroit Lions, and on the line help on this show, I've got Jeff Risden, a guy that listeners, if you've been listening for more than a little while, you know that he's been on the show before a couple of times for our opponent preview in the off season. And just a couple months ago, we got to talk Lions, but now we get to talk Lions and specifically Cardinals Lions this week. How you been, Jeff?
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me back.
I appreciate the time as always. Let's look at what the Lions have done so far this year. Big expectations for them. Expected to be a Super Bowl contender, one of the top teams in the NFC. And how has that played out so far? They picked up a 26-20. What a game! The 26-20 overtime win in Week One. Over the Rams, you got the Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford angle, Stafford going back to Detroit. And then last week, a 20-16 loss to Tampa Bay. And I was just talking to you off, I was paying attention to the score because I was in the press box for the Cardinals game. And I saw the score. I'm like, okay, because I picked the Bucks to cover that game. I'm like, oh, I look pretty smart. And then I look at the box score, and I'm like, I don't understand. How that happened.
The Lions completely dominated the game, but they couldn't score. Going 1-for-7 in the red zone will do that to you. As Greg Allman from the Tampa Bay side of things covered, they ran 29 plays in the Tampa Bay red zone in the second half of that game and did not score a point.
Was this a case where I know Goff had two picks.
First one was an obvious defensive pass interference, and even the officials admitted that after the game they missed it. The second one was, oh my God, what the hell?
Oh, Jared Goff. Jared Goff does that. I mean, that's what he's done throughout his career.
Yeah, he's gotten away from it, but bad luck came back on Sunday.
So, over the first two games, how do the Lions look so far?
Defensively, they look pretty good. I mean, they've given up 20 points in each game to two playoff teams last year. Now, y'all just played the Rams, so you understand the dilapidated state that the Rams were in. Puka Nacua only played half that game. Their offensive line was rough, even in that game. And then I actually just watched Arizona and Los Angeles, and it got worse for the Rams. That was hard to watch, quite honestly. I'm sure it was
great to watch. It was great to watch. The last time they had beaten the Rams at home was the Carson Palmer ACL game in 2014.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I didn't realize it had been that long.
It's been long. It was ridiculous.
So that's a very cathartic win for the Arizona. That's good. That's nice. I always like to see those. But yeah, the defense has been solid. It's a totally revamped secondary. We talked about it this offseason. The top four cornerbacks are all new. When they play man coverage, they're quite good. They gave up a touchdown last week in zone coverage where nobody's really sure who was responsible. I'm not even sure that the Lions know who was responsible for the breakdown on it. It's one of those where it's like, it could have been Amik Robertson. It could have been Jack Campbell. It could have been Terry Arnold. It could have been, Kirby Joseph. Like, just so many, it was rough. But the defense, Aiden Hutchinson is having defensive player of the year numbers. He had 4.5 sacks last week, he has 26 QB pressures in two games. Goodness. Now, again, the Bucs were playing without their regular right tackle, and he lines up over there most of the time. The Rams, you saw what was going on with that, but he's just killing people. And he did it all summer. He was regularly beating Penei Sewell in training camp. So, Penei's really, really good.
Yes,
so,
he is. Yes, he is.
So, Hutchinson is having a massive impact. The secondary is working out pretty well. They tackle extremely well. That's been something that's been a nice little boon. Defensive line is playing a lot better, but then you go to the other side of the ball and the offense just isn't clicking yet. And Dan Campbell actually talked about it in a radio interview that he did this week. And he said that, it's taken some time for the engine to fire up. And, it's not sharp yet. The offensive line is not as strong as it has been yet. They kind of missed Josh Reynolds as their number three receiver, number two receiver, but not really as much as I think a lot of fans would like it to be. But and Goff just hasn't been sharp. And Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, very celebrated guy, guy who's turned down multiple head coaching positions, including the one in Carolina twice, which looks better every day, by the way.
He's like, I don't want to work for that.
Yeah. It's his hometown team. They've offered him, double in 2024, but they offered him in 2023. He's like, nope. Now everybody knows why. But he's not bad. He's had a good start to the season either. So, there was hope in Lions Land that the defense would rise up and the offense would stay where it was, and that would be the difference between being 12-5 and losing the Niners in the championship game last year and being 14-3 and hosting the Niners in the NFC championship game this year. That's how people's minds it was. Well, the defense has indeed risen up, but the offense has fallen back. And until the offense rises up again, it's going to be tough because this is a team that's built to win games 31-24. They're not built to win 20-16. That's just not who they are.
Right.
And the fact that they're not scoring a lot is troubling.
Well, they 1-7 in the red zone last week, a wild stat. It does appear from my vantage point that the run game is not a problem, and that the duo of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery so far has been a very good one.
Oh yeah, they're very good. The only issue that we have is that David Montgomery, he did it in the Rams game. He ran very well in the first two drives and then did not play a snap in the next six drives. There's got to be some congruity between look, they're both very talented backs. They can do similar things, but they also have their own little styles. And I do think that Ben Johnson gets away from what's working a little bit too much. That's fairly common criticism of him around here, and I think it's a valid one. But yeah, they're good. The offensive line run blocking has been very good. Kevin Zeitler, the new right guard, came over from the Ravens. He's been exceptional in run blocking. It's fun when that thing's going downhill because man, they can move some people and they have backs who can exploit that movement very well.
And it appears through two games that Jameson Williams, a guy that you've been waiting to be J-Mo from Alabama, has finally starting to look like J-Mo from Alabama.
Oh, absolutely. He caught the first completed pass of the game last week for a 50-yard pass over the top of the defense. And the only reason it didn't go longer was because Goff can't throw it any further than that. He could have walked into the end zone if the throw was 60 yards down the field, but that's one of the things you get with Jared Goff. He's got a good arm, but it's not a cannon of an arm. And yeah, J-Mo's been his attention really, really good summer. He was one of the stars of training camp, and thus far he's proven that summer is indeed translating to the regular season, and that is a very positive development because he was one of the biggest worries that most of us had going into the season. Okay, he looks good this summer, but he drops a lot of passes. He's not always in the right spot at the right time. Hasn't had any of that through 2 weeks. He's been spectacular,
and which gives Goff a very nice, a really good trio of pass catchers with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Williams, and then Sam Laporta. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, I didn't see the whole game of the first for the first game of the season. But my buddy told me that kind of what got the Lions in trouble that game was trying to get the ball down on Amon-Ra St. Brown, like trying to force it to in first week. But then this week, 11 catches. And he got the Cooper Kupp treatment that he got against Winner.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp that had 21 targets against the Lions. Amon-Ra St. Brown was targeted 19 times, had 11 catches for 119 yards. It looks like, you know, you said that it's not anything to worry about. Got a little banged up in that game. But with that, has Jared Goff just not been as sharp as he was last season?
Yeah, that's very, very fair assessment of him. He just hasn't clicked in yet. Some of it is certainly on him. He bears responsibility for some of it. Some of it is the fact that the interior offensive line, they had a bad game collectively, guard, center guard, against the Buccaneers. Even after Vita Vea went out, I mean, Greg Gaines should not be swimming past Frank Ragnow untouched, and he did that twice in that game. Frank Ragnow is one of the best centers in the game. He was paid like it. He had a bad game. Graham Glasgow moving from the right guard to the left guard spot hasn't been good in pass protection at all. So that's some of it. You know, the book on Goff has always been very good when he's got time and confidence. When he's under pressure, he wilts a little bit, and that's been somewhat the case. Man. Laporta's been slowed. He missed some time this offseason, and he's not fully back yet. He's close, but it's not quite there yet. And then there's it feels like the play calling that's sent into Goff isn't necessarily Ben Johnson likes to script things and go into the game with like a plan of attack of what's going to go on. And when that doesn't happen, he doesn't tend to come off that very well. And I think because the Buccaneers and the Rams were, you know, their seasons ended in Detroit in the postseason last year. So it's very fresh in their mind what the Lions are going to do. And I don't think that the Lions and Ben Johnson specifically adjusted very well to that. And that gave problems for Jared Goff too. So it's a motley combination right now.
Coming up next on the Res here at Podcast, best our Cardinals talk on the web. And let's move on and talk about the Cardinals Lions matchup. What are the matchups that we're looking forward to? What are some of the keys to those games? That's coming up next on Res Ups Red. We're back on the Res here at Podcast, best our Cardinals talk on the web. Talking to Jeff Risden from the Lions Wire. Now looking ahead to Arizona. Detroit coming in to Arizona, where the Lions have had great success against the Cardinals. In fact, I don't think they've lost since 2015 or something like that. Part of that has been Jared Goff just has their number since he's won the last 8 starts he's faced the Cardinals. That's got a mix of with the Rams and with the Lions. The only time that he's lost was his rookie season when he was terribly.
Oh, that was a bad Rams team.
Oh, and Goff looked lost. Jeff Fisher, thanks for that. Thanks for bringing Sean McVay to Los Angeles. Thanks for that. The Cardinals have been a mess with the Rams since that. But no, Jared Goff, 8-1 against the Cardinals. What do you see in this matchup? Because Arizona offensively through 2 games has scored the second most points in the league. They've built big leads in 2 games. They obviously lost the 1 lead to the Bills in a 34-28 loss. And that, you know, after that happened, and then in week 2, what they did to Miami, we felt a little bit better about that loss to the Bills. And then they completely dismantled, Los Angeles. What do you see in that Arizona offense, and how do you think that defense matches up to it?
So the Kyler Murray is obviously the key, and one of the things that has been a Lions trademark, and this was true last year the Detroit Lions held running backs to the lowest yards per carry in the league. Quarterbacks, on the other hand, had the second highest yards per carry against any team against Detroit. Kyler Murray's a really good runner. And I know that that's not his identity. Like, he's not just a runner. He can do a lot more than that. Trust me, we're good on that. But the fact that he can run is going to create some issues because it means that the defense is going to play more zone, and the zone, look, they overhauled the secondary with man corner cover specialists. So now you're asking these guys to play zone, and you got a lot of new people in a lot of new places. The pass rush is fantastic, but they missed Baker Mayfield on a handful of times. Baker Mayfield ran right up the middle a couple of times when he saw the opportunity was there. And you know, I will admit it. I am a Baker Mayfield fan, but he is not anywhere close to the runner that Kyler Murray is. So
no. But I do like Baker. I do like Baker. It's hard, you know. How he played in Tampa Bay, it's hard not to like him now.
Yeah, and I'm happy for him because he got jerked over by Cleveland, and they're reaping the negativity from that.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Oh, Cleveland.
My hometown. You'll notice I'm not a fan of my hometown team. There's
reason for that. Oh, all that money to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that was not great. But so Kyler's obviously, you know, the focal point, and you know, I'm not too worried about the run offense, and I say that about every Lions opponent because the
run defense is spectacular.
Yes, the run defense is very good and it's legit. Nobody cracks it with running backs. I got to add that caveat with running backs; they just don't. It's a very good tackling unit too, from the cornerbacks and the safeties as well as the linebackers, like most of the time. Alex Anzalone gets a little flighty. We'll see if he plays. He got a concussion on Baker Mayfield's touchdown run at the end of the game. So he might not play. We'll see. They do have a lot of depth at linebacker. Malcolm Rodriguez has been really good this year. So, you know, and then Kyler's ability to extend plays also when he's pressured and doesn't take off. And, you know, the receiving core, obviously everybody knows Marvin Harrison Jr., and it was nice to see him get off after the first week of fantasy analysts going, oh, my God, he's a boss. Should we dump him? It's one game. Drove me crazy.
They had five targets combined to their two border receivers, five targets. Yeah. I thought that was a bad game plan, but and I think it was ultimately what was part of their demise is that, well, despite the fact they had no answer for Josh Allen. They James Cook had a good game, but they had no answer for Josh Allen, and the Dolphins didn't have any answer for Josh Allen. But yeah, that was ultimately, but when the Cardinals last year, they built an identity around the run game and the pass game that goes through the run through Trey McBride to their tight ends and their running backs. Yeah. And they didn't pressure the perimeter. Now, part of that is because of the way that Buffalo played defense, and they bracketed basically Harrison the whole game. And last week against the Rams, where you got a guy like Tre'Davious White, they did a little less of that. And as you saw, Trey White, we might think is cooked.
Yes,
with what JMO did to him, and then follow that what happened with Harrison, we think what we're seeing is that Trey White is not a lockdown guy anymore, especially against the young fast guys.
It can go fast, man. And you brought up Trey McBride, and he's tight ends that can catch the ball and turn and run have been a problem for Detroit, and that's what Trey McBride does very well. He's a really skilled dude. He's going to be a challenge because, especially if they're playing zone, he understands where to get in the zone. And Kyler's really good at hitting him, not while he's sitting, but as he's in the process of sitting, which means that he's still moving. He's not a stationary target when he catches the ball. And that's actually one of the big issues that the Lions offense has had, is that instead of, you know, hitting Amon-Ra St. Brown in dead stride, he stopped because whether the pressure is or Goff just isn't as confident in what it is, he's throwing to a stationary target. Well, then you're eliminating yak ability. I think the Cardinals, from what I've seen in the first 2 weeks, are very good at, and Kyler's hitting his guys when they need the ball as much as where they need the ball. And that's I saw some of that last year with him, but I didn't see it consistently. And I think I'm seeing a lot more this year.
So good right now. I am concerned about one matchup, and Kelvin Beachum held up rather well last week against the Rams. But I mean, Greg Rousseau ate him for lunch. But
he's
granted,
really good too, though.
Yes, but also that Beecham came in relief. He was getting, because he was their backup swing tackle, so he's getting limited reps, both left tackle and right tackle. 150 career starts. He got all the reps in practice last week and held out nicely against Byron Young. But Aiden Hutchinson is a different animal. And as you said, he had 4.5 sacks over this last game. He's got 26 pressures, or is it 26 hits? I'm like,
26 hits. No, 26 pressures. He has. Okay. He had.
Ooh.
He had 8.
Jesus, that's a lot. So that, I think that latch up right there, especially since, like, on the other side, because Onwuzurike's had a good start of the season as well.
Yes.
Paris Johnson, left tackle, we don't worry about it. He's solid. And so the weak side, like the side that we look at as a right tackle side, where could we have problems? And that's a major problem. Aiden Hutchinson is a problem in general, and that is the weakest part of the offensive line right now, because we've got Keva Pelvis. I service a very okay, decent starter, even at age 35, but he is the area of concern this week.
Yeah, and I do think that the Lions do a pretty good job of they move Hutch around. He will play against Paris Johnson some. That'll be fun to watch. He took on Tristan Wirfs a handful of times last week. They do bring pressure from the inside. Aleem McNeil is a very good player. He's off to a bit of a slow start, but he's a guy that's capable of wrecking some worlds up the gut too. So yeah, that's going to be, to me, that's the biggest. If the Lions can get some pressure and then contain Kyler from escaping a pressure in one way or another, I think the Lions defense is going to have a pretty good day. But if they don't do that, it's going to be rough, because as good as the revamped secondary is, and Brian Branch is playing, he had a phenomenal game last week, broke up one touchdown pass, picked off another pass. There's only so much you can ask them to do against a skilled offense. Like, this is an offense that's built to score. They've got multiple weapons. It's fun to watch from afar, because the Cardinals on paper to me, like this offseason, looking, I'm like, they can score a lot of points, but it's on paper right now. And thus far, It seems like, they're scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, well, and it's one of the things that we've seen is going to be an interesting matchup, because the Lions are just so great against running backs. The Cardinals' running game has seemed to find success over the last season plus against everyone. Like last year, they went like San Francisco. I will give this caveat. San Francisco, when they it looked like they broke the 49ers run defense last year, and that was partially because they didn't have Javon Hargrave. They didn't have they were down two defensive tackles last year, and they had they even in a game that they struggled to run the ball against Buffalo, they still had over 120 yards. But they've got 5 200-yard games in the last season, just over a season, that the run game has just been their bread and butter, and they're getting it from, you know, obviously James Conner, but they also get chunk plays from Kyler. They get him, like, they had in garbage time, Amari DiMercato was an undrafted rookie last year at a TCU. He ripped off a 41-yard run, and this is even before Trey Benson has even shown anything yet.
Benson's sizzle, man.
and he's, you know, he's adjusting to the NFL game. He had 11 carries for 10 yards last week, and he was kind of like the non-bright spot of the offense, because you're looking at him like, okay, he's got to adjust to how NFL defenders move. He can't break things out the way he could.
He's capable of doing it, and I think that's the fun. Like, he could get. And I pegged him this as when he was coming out of Florida State as a draft prospect. He's going to have it like 15 carries for 30 yards, and then his next two are going to go for 60. Like, that's kind of who he is.
Yeah, and that's honestly a nice complimentary back to have when you. Because James Conner, and like, he's ripping off, like, you don't see him get tackled for losses. Like, he always takes things for a yard or two, even if there's nothing there.
Doesn't go down on first contact, just plows
he's
through.
He's just been so, and he's like, over the last three seasons, it's like, everyone noticed James Conner in the fantasy year when he scored 18 touchdowns. He was not an efficient runner that year. In the last two plus seasons, now this is the third season, he is now a much more efficient runner, a more explosive runner than he's ever been. And like his first two carries went for 13 and 16 yards. Part of that was the hole that was there, but like you give him any crease at all and he's busting through there. But so that's going to be challenging, because if Detroit is able to bottle him up, or at least, I mean, at keep those gains to 1 and 2 yards.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3 yards.
Yeah. Like on first down, if you're getting second and four, second and five consistently, that's going to be a problem for the Detroit defense. If you're in second and eight, second and nine, you know, third and seven, that's where that pendulum shifts to the other side.
And then you get Hutchinson coming off the edge. How do you see the matchup with Harrison? Who do you think is going to, if they line up in man at all, who's going to be the guy that covers Marv?
It'll probably be Terrion Arnold. Although it sort of depends on where Marv goes, because Carlton Davis is still sort of the number one. It's like 1A, 1B. Yeah. Terrion has been very good in coverage, except he's gotten three defensive pass interference penalties. One of them probably shouldn't have been called. And all three, by the way, have led to opposing points. Two of them have been in the end zone, and another one was like right on the doorstep. So he's got to learn how to control his hands. But in terms of like instincts and ability to run with receivers, he's there. He's good, man. But there's things to clean up with it. He is not a zone corner, and that's one of the issues that the Lions defense has. Carlton Davis isn't quite as fast, but he's, you know, the heady, steady veteran. He's playing very well. So that'll be a fun matchup. And then it's like, okay, who's the complimentary receiver on the other side that can win? When we played the Rams, it was Johnson. Like who is this guy? He just caught five passes for 74 yards against us. Like, what's going on there? And I think that actually happened last week. Mike Evans, he's Mike Evans. Chris Godwin was the far more productive receiver last week. And the teams that have the multiple passing attacks like that, and I think Arizona's getting there, that's where the Lions can struggle, because they don't necessarily travel with their receivers. I don't know. And Marv's except I personally want to see the rookies go at it.
That would be fun. That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, that would be a great matchup for people that aren't fans of our teams. Like, oh yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and Michael Wilson on the other side, he's an interesting guy, because like in terms like he can have monster games, but he also, like from the outside, he doesn't demand the ball as much. So he's kind of the perfect match for what they do. He's got a great relationship with Kyler Murray, but he also can. Interesting coming out, like he's never been healthy in like the last 5 years. Dating back to his time at Stanford.
Yeah, I remember him at Stanford. And at the Senior Bowl, he got hurt the first day he was there.
Yes. And it was wild athletically, because his 40 was very, very pedestrian for receivers. But his 10-yard split, what was like 95th percentile, and that's he is a great route runner, and he gets off the ball really well. He had a terrible drop in week one, and that on that last drive against Buffalo that would have changed things. That was terrible. And I'm like, dude, you're the hands guy. You're the if you're gonna be the hands. Well, if you remember Keyshawn Johnson at a Fresno State, right?
Yeah,
people were so excited about him when he got to the pros. And even when he was slow, he couldn't get separation. But you can't be non-separating and then turn into bad hands. In the
pros. Then you're Hakeem Butler, and that doesn't work either.
Have yourself a time in the UFL. Let's move on to the next. Coming to next on the Rise Up here at Podcast, Mr. Up Cardinals talking. It's time to make some predictions and picks for this game that's coming next on Rise Up here at. Back on the Rise Up here at Podcast, Mr. Up Cardinals talk on the web. The Cardinals Lions play at State Farm Stadium, 4:25 Eastern, 1:25 here locally. Lions are favored by 3. in this game. That's a completely understandable. How do you see this game playing out? This is not a game that I had the Cardinals, like, you know, look back at the when we do our game-by-game predictions when the schedule comes out in May, because, like, ridiculous people, but we've got to because people click on that type of thing. I look at this game. We looked at this game and we're like, yeah, that's probably not a win. And I can't predict a Cardinals win, but I'm really interested to see the everything that happens leading up to the final score, because the Cardinals looked good mostly against Buffalo. They looked incredible against the Rams. And if the Cardinals, if they sneak a win in this one with that six-game schedule that they have to start the year, this Cardinals team could be better than expected. That said, I don't predict that, but I honestly think that the Lions will cover, like, with only a three-point spread, I think the Lions win and cover in this game.
I think that the Lions are looking to get their offense right. Again, they've underachieved all season. I think they're not going to go 1-for-7 in the red zone again. And they're going to get down there a few times. Like, I have respect for Arizona's defense. I think that their pass rush is going to have some impact on the game, but the Lions should win this game. And you know, from the other side, this is a game that Lions fans looked at in the preseason. And, you know, as I went through, I'm like, we should win that one. And no disrespect, but that's just the expectation is that the Lions right. are going to go in and win this game. And I think that they will, but they've got to be more efficient on offense, cash in the 469 yards to more than 16 points. That can't happen again. There's too much talent, right. too much talent on the offensive side of the ball for them to continue to struggle. But if Jared Goff doesn't, we got like a C-minus game from Jared Goff. If he's even a B-minus, they probably win this game and put up, I would say, close to 30 points. If not, Arizona is a team that can outscore them, and that'll be a fun battle. I agree. I think this is a fun matchup, and I hope that it gets like a wide national audience because it is two appealing teams. You know, you got storylines that are fun there. It looks like a fun game, and I'm excited to watch it because, you know, we knew that Tampa, like, because we had just played Tampa Bay and Los Angeles. So okay, yeah, it's great we just beat them, but let's see what else is out there. You know, you want to broaden your palate. You just want to eat, you know, shrimp flavored ramen every day for lunch. Sometimes you want other things in that, and this is what that is for us.
Yeah, and I'm looking at. It won't get the national coverage. I'm looking at the Fox lineup because you've
probably
got,
not going to be much.
It's the third game. It's you've got Ravens, Cowboys, and 49ers, Rams in that second game of the doubleheader for Fox.
Oh, that game's a dog. Yeah. The Ravens going 0-3. There's a very real chance that they will be. That probably deserves to be the headline story there. And Dallas is Dallas. We all hate
that. That is the Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady game. So the
oh, good. I won't have to watch that. Thank God. Tom Brady is flavorless, dude. It's rough.
So what do we?
Who do we get? Do we get Daryl Johnson?
You know, we get Chris Myers and Mark Schlereth.
Oh, Chris Myers once mispronounced his own name. He's oh my god! Get him off the air.
Schlereth.
I like Stink for the most part, but God, Chris Myers is just so bad.
Yeah, Kugler and Johnston are for Green Bay, Tennessee this week. I was like,
they did a good job
like,
last week on the Lions game. They really did.
Do you see this turning out? So I'm not. Yeah. I'm especially how Detroit plays defense. It's gonna be tougher for the Cardinals to do offensively what they've done, because they do basically James Conner is the motor. And then, well, I don't know. Yeah. I see this game as, I think the offensive slows a little bit. And I'm thinking 31-24 Lions, I think, because I don't think the Cardinals, like, their pass rush was non-existent against Josh Allen, and they exploited their five sacks. I will say this, They completely exploited the fact that they were playing a left. They were. It was a third string left tackle for the Rams this past week in Warren McClendon, because, you know, the other Jackson was suspended still. Then Joe Noteboom got out, and then you guys benefited from the AJ Akuri experience.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So,
y'all's tackles are good. You have good tackles. Our edge presence is okay at best. It's okay at best. Yeah. And so I think Goff is going to have time to throw, which is going to make the defense. Detroit's going to be able to move the ball down the field. In the passing game. And now my hope is that they're comparable against the run as they were against Kyron Williams. But the way that Detroit's run the ball, I'm worried about that. That basically offensively the Lions will be able to do whatever they need to do, and the Cardinals are going to have to keep pace, which is going to be really hard to do. I think it's going to be 31-24 type game. But that does mean a Lions win and cover, and the 52.5 line, the total projected total. Probably I'll take the over on that.
I'm going to take the over on that as well. I think that the Lions are a sleeping giant that's ready to finally wake up, and I do think that the Cardinals are going to score some points. I agree with your general presumption that the when the Lions score, the Cardinals are going to have to score more, and will look to turn it into a not necessarily a track meet, but, you know, certainly a game that's in the 30s, where the winner's getting 33, 34, 35. So I'm going to go probably like 33-27 Lions in that range. But again, if that red zone offense doesn't get better for Detroit, Arizona's going to win this game.
And I can't wait to see what happens in terms of other things. Like we don't have I have basically no player props yet because it's only Wednesday. Jared Goff set at the 1.5 touchdown passes is the line over at -135, under +100. Do you see him going for more than 1.5 or fewer than 1.5 touchdown passes against the Cardinals?
I'm going to go under on that. I think this is a team that when they're getting to the red zone, they realize that they're not throwing the ball well, and they're going to try to pound it. Now, maybe it'll be a swing pass to Jahmyr Gibbs and he catches three of those. That could happen too. I would go under on that.
Kyler's, they got 1.5 for Kyler, only the over is +105. Do you think he gets two touchdown passes against the Rams? Against the Lions?
I do think so, because I think that there's going to be holes there. And because he can run, it's going to make those holes a little bit bigger. And when you've got guys like McBride and Harrison and, you know, Trey Benson on a swing pass to go the other way, like, yeah, that can be a trouble. So yeah, I think he'll get two or three.
In terms of the Lions, I keep saying the Rams. Who do you think has the bigger game, Amon-Ra St. Brown or J-Mo in this game?
I think Saint's going to go off. Now, some of that's dependent on the knee. As I told you before we started recording, I think he's going to be one of those where he's limited in practice this week, but there's not a chance in the world he's not playing. The big issue has been the timing and the synchronicity of the routes, and I think that the Lions are going to work on that very hard this week. And J-Mo, I think J-Mo's commanding more respect and attention from the defenses now, and that's going to help Amon-Ra get off a little bit better. So I think he's going to probably have a bigger week.
And in terms of running production, who has the better game, Connor, Montgomery, or Gibbs?
Ooh. I'm going to say Montgomery has the most. I think this is the kind of a game where if the Lions get a lead, Ben Johnson will remember that David Montgomery is a really good running back. That
like can in overtime against the Rams, they're like, oh, look what I've got. And then they
week we were like, why didn't they do that the entire game? Because it was there the entire game. And I hope that, you know, because maybe Goff has been struggling a little bit, hey, we've got a fantastic run-blocking offensive line. There's not a person in the world who will tell you it's not the best run-blocking line in the league. And they threw the ball 55 freaking times against Tampa Bay. I think there's going to be an overcorrection in the other direction, and I think that's going to benefit David Montgomery a lot.
All right. And with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Here at Podcast, Best of Cardinals Talk of the Web, previewing Cardinals lines with Jeff Rist. And Jeff, really appreciate the time. As always, and at most, well, you're hoping for a Lions win. I'm obviously hoping for a Cardinals win. At minimum, have it be a fun, competitive game that just leads to somebody's heartbreak. But at being both Cardinals and Lions fans, I think we're probably numb.
We know that part well.
We are numb to heartbreak. So
absolutely. I'm looking forward to this game, too. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, that's Jeff Risen. Find his stuff over at the Lions Wire. You can also see his. You can he writes a lot of stuff for a lot of places. So, but catch this week over at the Lions Wire. Thanks, Jeff, for your time. We'll be back again next. We'll be back again in a couple of days with our Seth and me, or just me, for our preview of the show. And that'll wrap up this show. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise Up Red Sea, Be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up See Red.